We are in a series that we have titled, The God I Wish That You Knew. We're in week number 3 of that, but I wanted to kind of set up this talk today because I wanted to set up the series again. And it's this, have you ever had a restaurant that you really loved and you tried to get your friends to go with you to, but your friends had heard a bad report? Maybe they read a bad report in the paper or online, or maybe they heard a bad report from a friend or family member, somebody that had attended there. And so they no longer, even though they had never been, they did not want to try it. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Even though it was the best food that you've ever had and you loved it, people refused to eat it because of a bad review that somebody else gave it. That is very similar to what we're looking at in this series, The God That I Wish You Knew. There are so many that base their opinions of God on the reviews of other people. People that have some baggage, maybe they have hurts in their life. Maybe somebody at church hurt their feelings. And so they naturally blame God, or they naturally blame all of, you know, what God stands for. And so the reviews of other people a lot of times become a bad review that keeps people from even wanting to experience God. Now, here's the other part. Maybe you think that God is mean. And if you think God's mean, God's never going to be somebody that you approach or seek out if you think that he's mean. Or if you think that God is out to get you, you're never going to be out pursuing him. If you think that God is angry or that there's no way you can please him, you're not going to try to please him because you realize, hey, I'm kind of in a losing place here. Here's the difference, and we have to understand this. How you view God will determine how you interact with God. Your opinion of God is going to affect how you interact with him. And I want us to just get that. In fact, what I'd really like us to do is just own that, to understand it. I can't convince you. I can't convince you how good God is. I would like to. Man, I would try. I'd like to believe that I was that good of a communicator that I could do that, but I know I'm not. In fact, Jesus wasn't even that good of a communicator, because the truth is, if our hearts are not open, we'll never, ever be open to God. As we discover who God really is, it changes how we live. It changes how we do life. And that's the goal of this series that we've called The God I Wish That You Knew. I mentioned this, but one thing that I've done is I realize I can't change your mind. I can't change your opinion of who God is, but I've been praying for any and everybody that would ever hear this series and hear this talk, that God would speak to you and that you would somehow allow the barriers to kind of subside, and that you would open up your heart to hear about God in a new and a fresh way. Because a lot of times we don't come to church because we feel like, well, God's out to get me. We don't come to church because we feel like, well, God just wants to steal all of my fun. We don't come to church because we have these preconceived ideas of who God is. And most of the time, those preconceived ideas are wrong. In fact, I would almost say all the time those things are wrong that keep us away from God. So in this series, the first week we looked at this. The God that I wish you knew is a God that is for you. And when we know that God is for us, one of the points was this. We don't hide from God, we run to God. I spent a lot of my life running from God. I don't know if you have too. But when you know that God is actually for you, in fact, when you know that God wants to bless you, not hurt you, then he's not somebody we run from, he's somebody we run to. It changes how we do life. It changes how we interact with God. Last week, we looked at the God that I wish you knew is a God who speaks to you. We live in a world that does not believe that God speaks. In fact, man, if you didn't hear the talk, I would encourage you to go online and listen to it, FresnoQuest.com. It's an important talk to understand that God does speak to you. And the reason that God speaks is this: relationship requires communication. And if you can imagine your significant other, if you're married or if you have this committed relationship, and your significant other refused to speak to you, what kind of a relationship would that be and how long would it last? It would be a terrible relationship and it wouldn't last long. And we've got to understand that it's the same way with God. If you're in a relationship and God is not speaking, then you're in a one-sided conversation. And that eventually gets old and dead. When we realize that God wants to speak to us, it changes our opinion of God. It changes how we do life with God. This week, we're looking at this. The God that I wish you knew is a God who keeps his promises. Now, okay, when I say that, I'm sure that you thought, what do I care if God keeps his promises, right? What do I care, really, Dave? Come on. I come to church, you know. What do I care if God keeps his promises? Listen, God keeping his promises is like big time important. And the reason God's promises are important and God keeping his promises is this. God is only as good as his word. I want to say it again so you get it. God is only as good as his word. In other words, if God says stuff that is not true, he's not good. If God says, hey, I'm always going to protect you, and he doesn't. If God says, hey, you know what? I can do this, but I'm not going to do it for you. God is only as good as his word. And if we don't think that God keeps his promises, we're not going to go to him. We're not going to even see him as good. Another reason why God's promises are important is this. Trust requires reliability. Trust. Your trust in God requires or is required a reliability on God's part. We will never trust God. We'll never trust a person who's unreliable. Have you ever had somebody in your life where they say, hey, I'll be there. I'm going to meet you at your house on Tuesday, and we're going to go do this, this, and this. You go, okay, that's cool. And that Tuesday comes, and they don't show up. And you're like, dude, what's the deal? Oh, man, I forgot. Well, then the next week he says, listen, Tuesday, I'm coming over. We're going to go do this, this, this. Okay, all right. You're sure it's Tuesday? Yeah. Tuesday comes, they don't show up. The third time they say, hey, let's get together on Tuesday. You're going to say what? Dude, no, we're not. I'm not getting together with you. This is the third time, and you've never been reliable. It's the same way with God. When we don't see God as reliable, we don't trust him. We live in a world where people don't keep their word. People can be full of empty promises, and some feel the same way towards God. So I wanted to define what a promise is so that we're on the same page, okay? And here's what a promise is. An offer with a guaranteed result. When somebody makes an offer with a guaranteed result, that's a promise. So in other words, I promise that we're going fishing next Tuesday. The only way that works is if we do go fishing next Tuesday together. So it's an offer with a guaranteed result. It's assurance that someone will do what they say that they'll do. And the words I promise, they're words that heal or hurt. They heal if what is promised actually is performed. They hurt if promised is forgotten or neglected. You have a young couple and they stand at an altar and pledge their undying love to each other, the promise of all promises. And then something goes terribly wrong, or something gets out of whack in their lives. Rather than addressing it, what happens? The promise gets broken. It doesn't just affect the couple, it affects the kids. It affects family. A parent says to their child, I promise we're going to do this or that, but they get busy. Or maybe they never even planned to carry out what they promised. They just said it to keep their kids quiet. And children learn very young. And I would say not just children, but us when we were children learn very young that I promise is it's much more fickle than it should be. The words I promise. And so what we do and what kids do is we say things like pinky promise. Or we say, cross your heart and hope to die, as if we're calling people to a greater standard of truth and promise, that your word would be your word. You know, Cynthia and I told you this, but Cynthia and I, we have this thing, and just to make sure that we're telling the truth, we say word of honor. So it's like, she'll say, Dave, really? I say word of honor, word of honor. Well, I learned early on when we were doing that I could say word of foner, F-O-N-E-R, which is not a word. But I can say word of foner, and if I say it really fast, it sounds like word of honor, right? So now, even when I'm doing that to Cynthia as a joke, and she's like, Dave, seriously? I go, oh yeah, word of foner, you know? Now she catches on, but even when we make up these things that call us to a greater standard for our promise, we find loopholes in that. That's just the way that our world works. And because we've been let down by humans, many have problems believing that God will do what he says he'll do. But we cannot let people define who God is. Listen, please, don't ever let people and the behavior of people define who God is. And I'd say it this way. If you have a problem with people in the church, I get it. You know what? None of us are perfect. But don't let people in the church define who God is. Let me read this in Numbers 23. It says this, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Sorry, we're having a little bit of difficulties. Humans lie. Humans change their mind, but God doesn't. And here's some things we really need to know about God. We want to discover God on a deeper level, and we want to discover his true identity and his character so that we're convinced who God is. It's not just an idea, but we really get to know God at a deeper level. And here's the first thing we need to know about God, or in a deeper level, and that's this. God cannot lie because he is truth. God doesn't just tell the truth. God is truth. In fact, the only way I can really define it and describe it for you is this. There is nothing false in him. You and I are humans. Our nature, we have a sinful nature. That nature allows us to be false. God is working that sinful nature out of us, and it's a process, and it'll never happen and never be finished until we get to heaven. But all of us have this human nature, so we have the ability to speak lies. We may not want to, but we have the ability. God does not even have the ability to speak a lie. That's important to know because that reveals his character and who he is. In fact, let me read Hebrews 6:18. God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. So God's character is truth. Here's what Jesus said. Just as a comparison, Jesus says this to show us about character and how our words and our actions are. He tells about Satan and his character. And he says this. He has always hated the truth, being Satan has. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's the difference in this dichotomy of character. God, there is no lying in him. There's only truth. In Satan, there is no truth. There's only lies. And that is a character issue. So anything that God does comes out of that character. I don't want to get too complicated with it, but it's important for us to understand that if we're really going to know God at a deeper level in our lives. In fact, we go back to that scripture and it says that, well, we'll look at that scripture in just a little bit. So God's character is truth, and he cannot lie, nor will he ever lie to you. And because of that, on a deeper level, we have this confidence and hope because of God's character. So God's character gives you confidence and hope. And so now we go back to that scripture in Hebrews 6 that says, it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge have this great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. So my question is this. Are you so in touch with God's character? Do you know who God is that you can trust him and it gives you hope and confidence in what he says and what he's able to do in your life? See, when our perception, when our opinion of God is based on our experience with people, we've actually missed the nature, the character of God. We've let people define who God is. And listen to how it says this in Romans, because Paul says it this way. Some of them were unfaithful. Speaking of people in the past, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful does not mean that God will be unfaithful. Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. God is true. So when everyone gives their word, or when someone gives their word, or makes a promise, it breathes life into us. It inspires us to keep going. But again, promises are only as reliable as the person giving them. In fact, words are of no value. They're of no more value than the person who speaks those words. So one more scripture that'll just remind us, or maybe it might even help redefine God's character for you. And I want it in Hebrews 10, it says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He, God, always keeps his word. And I want to say this before we move on. Don't miss it, because God keeping his promises reflects his love for you. It reflects his compassion for you. It reflects his heart for you. They're not just empty words. God, scripture says that God is love. God loves you. And so he cannot lie. He cannot speak falsehood because he is so into you. That's why when we say, hey, God's mean, we have no concept of who God is. If we think that God is angry, or if we think that God is against us, God wants you to know that he is completely reliable. And the reason this is important to me that I see is all of what you need in life, your strength for difficult days, your peace for turbulent times, joy when there is nothing in life to be joyful about, hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for your future, health in times of sickness, hope in times of sickness, the encouragement that you need for life, for the encouragement that you need for your family, your work, for difficulties that will come into your life, for all of these things that we face, the strength that we have in life is based on our opinion of how reliable God's promises are. Can I just say that one more? Not all of that. I just want to say a part of that again. The strength that we need in life for all the challenges that we face comes out of your opinion of how reliable God is with his promises. Boy, that we've always kind of put the blame on God, like God's the person who doesn't come through. But truthfully, it's us. We've chosen not to believe God. See, if we're going to trust God, then we've got to know his character, which we've just looked at. But if we're going to really trust God, then we have to know God's promises. And if I could just help you with this, the Bible is full of God's promises. That's what the Bible is. It's God's book of promises to you. We look at it sometimes. Some people look at the Bible as a book of rules. God gave us all these rules we have to follow. They're promises for you because he wants the best for you. The Bible is full of thousands of promises that God makes. And all of them are true and all of them are reliable because God makes them and he is reliable. 2 Peter says this, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. They actually bring transformation into our lives. And when we know God's promises, as we get exposed to God's promises, we start believing God for bigger things, greater things than we ever have before. I'm going to give you a few scriptures I'm going to read. Ephesians 3 says this, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Now here's the deal. That's a promise. That is a promise that God can do anything. Here's the question. Do you believe that? If God can do anything, and God says, I can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or dream in your wildest dreams. Do you really believe it? I like this one too. In Jeremiah 32, he says, I'm the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for God? The answer is absolutely not. And when we realize that there's nothing that's too difficult for God to do, we start thinking bigger. We start understanding that God is not limited like we are. In fact, we start expecting and maybe even asking God for bigger things than we've ever asked God before. Jesus said this. He says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Don't just, sometimes we come to God and we go, hey, God, you know what? I know I got a lot of problems. But can you just come through in this one little thing like this one? Maybe you can't do this, but maybe if you just do this little tiny thing. It's almost like we're bargaining with God rather than asking God for what we really need, because what it really reflects is that we don't know God, for one, and what it really reflects is we don't believe that God can do what God says he can do. So we bargain with him and we lower it and we just say, hey, you know what? Can you do this? Man, I'm telling you, we have things in life that we've got to believe God for great things. If you've got an addiction in your life, you've got to believe God for something big. I know I did. I've had addictions in my life that I've had to believe God for something huge that I did not think was even possible. But I had to step out and say, okay, God, you said that you would do this, and I need it desperately. I need to be delivered from this. We need to know God's promises. Get into the Bible. Get one of those books. Have you ever seen those books, God's Promises? They're kind of red sometimes. You can get them in a Bible bookstore. Get one of those thousands of promises that just remind you of that God loves you, that God wants to bless you, that God is for you, whatever it is in your life. It increases your belief system in how good God is and what he wants to do within you. If we're also going to trust God, we have to pursue God's promises. In other words, we have to search them out. Abraham was a person who searched them out. I want to read this really quick. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Listen, it's one thing to know God's promises, but it's another thing to search them out and for that to be a constant searching in our lives. And I think that sometimes we think, you know what? I just don't want to open the Bible. It's too much work. I don't know where to look. You know what? Sometimes you just need to immerse yourself into God's word and really allow God to speak to you through it. Listen, if you're going to believe, if we're going to trust God, then we also have to believe and act on God's promises. It's not just knowing them. It's not just pursuing them. We've got to believe and act on these promises. I don't know if you remember, God delivered his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. And here's the deal. He promised them, or he promised to deliver them. He promised to provide for them. He promised to be with them. He promised to help them, to protect them, to lead them through the wilderness. And not just to give them, but he promised to give them their own land. And if you've ever read the scripture, you know, you hear him talking about the promised land. The promised land was not just a destination that was like, oh, it's special land. This was land that God promised. And God says, I'm giving you this land. I'm making a promise. But you know what? They were still fearful. They still complained and they still doubted. And the reason is because they did not believe that God would do what he said he would do. And I say it with the utmost respect for all of us, that God is moving us to a place where we learn to trust him. He wants you to trust him. But Hebrews 4 says this, we receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, the Israelites that I just told you about. So we receive the very same promises that were given to them. But the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. So listen, it's one thing to know his promises. It's one thing to pursue his promises. But if we're ever going to experience God's promises, then we've got to accept them with faith. And we've got to act on them with faith. What does that look like? We're going to look at that really quick as soon as we're done with worship. If you're standing, you can be seated. I just want to wrap up our time together with this thought, these ideas for just a moment. What does it mean to have faith in what God says? What does that mean? There's a scripture that I want to read. It's found in Genesis 15. If you've never read the story of Abraham and his wife Sarah, it's a great story, and I put the scriptures on your handout if you want to look back at this week. I think it's like Genesis 15 through 22 or 17 through 22. But here's what I want you to hear this, because God gives Abraham a promise. And here's where, this is the promise. He says, then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can, which he can't. He said, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. A couple things. First is this, the people that God led through the wilderness did not receive what God wanted them to have because they didn't have faith. Abraham, God makes a promise to him and says, hey, your descendants will outnumber the stars that you see here. And Abraham believed God and God counted it because of his faith. Faith is really an important thing. We know the scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But what does it mean that we have faith? You know what? First of all, you got to understand something with this scripture with Abraham and his wife, Sarah. When God made this promise to him, first of all, if you're going to have descendants and many descendants like God promised, you've got to have an offspring, right? And they had none at that moment. They needed a son and they didn't have it. Here's the deal. When God made that promise to Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. Scripture says that Abraham laughed when God told him that because it's pretty ridiculous to think at 100 years old, he probably didn't have the energy. Well, we don't need to go into that, but you know what I'm saying, right? And yet God said, you're going to have offspring as many as the stars that you can see. That's how many offspring, and it's going to require a son. I'm going to give you that son. But he's 100 years old and she's 90. God, and yet what Abraham said, okay, if this is what you want to do, I know you can do it. And God did it. See, here's the thing. I think sometimes we get in a place where we don't believe that God can actually do what he says he wants to do in us. We say, hey, God says, hey, you know what? I can change you. And he said, no, you can't change me because we don't have faith. We don't believe. We receive everything from God through a relationship. God is not a genie in a bottle. We don't rub a lamp and then that's what gets us what we want. We receive what we receive because we ask for it. And we ask for it because we know that He loves us. He wants to bless us. And we look at Him as a heavenly Father who wants to provide for every one of our needs. So if you're going to live in faith, then you've got to know from the start that God is good and that He is for you, or you'll never act in faith. If we're going to receive God's promises with faith, then we also need to make His word the foundation of our life. And what does that mean? That means we don't address the Bible to fit us. We adjust us to fit the Bible. If God's word says or tells us to do something, we do it because it's the foundation of our lives. It is the one that gives direction. The Bible, you know, you guys have a Bible. That's God's promises. It's God's words to you. Do you believe it? Then when you read it, act on it. You can't just believe and not act on it. You've got to act on what you believe. Make it the foundation of your life. If you're going to receive God's promises with faith, then I have to believe that what God says will happen even when nothing's happening. I have to believe that what God says will happen even when nothing else is going on, when I don't see it. We have to remind ourselves that what God said would happen even during difficult times and bad times. His promises and His words give us strength during difficult times. I love the scripture in Psalms 119. It says, "Your words," or these words, "hold me up in bad times. Yes, Your promises rejuvenate me." And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. When you're going through a difficult time and God says, "Listen, Dave, I'm going to heal you." I had back problems. For some of you that were here, you understand this. Others that maybe didn't. I had back problems. I hurt my back. And it was so bad I couldn't move. And I seriously, for like a month, I'm on my back and thinking, I'm never going to have a normal life. And I know God said, "Dave, I will heal you. I promise I will heal you." And I had to, I remember, I would be in the back there in the sound room, and I would be laying down on the floor because to stand or to sit hurt. And I would lay on the floor until it was time to talk, and then I would come up here and I would kind of shuffle out here and I would stand because I couldn't sit in this chair. And God said, "Dave, I will heal you." And I had to stand on that and I had to believe that even though I did not feel that God was healing me. If I could tell you this other quick, I lived a very rebellious life when I was a teenager, and my mom and dad always believed that God would bring me into relationship with God. And even when I was at my worst, my parents would make me come to church so I'd smoke a joint on my way to church so I could enjoy it. And I would sit in church like that, and my parents still believed that God would save my life and transform and change me, though I was not reflecting that in any way. You see, there are times, if you're going to live with faith, that you're going to have to believe that what God says will happen, even if you don't see anything happening. That's what it means to live with faith. If we're going to receive God's promises with faith, then we have to hold tightly to what we believe deeply. If you're going to live with faith, then you have to hold tightly, as if your life depended on it, to what you believe deeply. And I would say it this way: what is the promise that you need in your life? And let's start with the need. What is the greatest need right now you have in your life? What do you need God to come through in? Is it a son who's away from God? Is it a daughter who's away from God? Is it a spouse? Do you need healing in your life? Is there something going on inside and you need healing? Because scripture says that God is our healer. Do you need faith for a difficulty that you're facing? What? I don't know. Do you need deliverance from an addiction that you've had for a number of years? What was it that you need? Because you've got to come to God and ask for it and believe it. His promises, what He says, are true completely. And in the difficult times, His promises rejuvenate you and give you strength. I'd like you to just close your eyes, if you would. I'm going to wrap up our time. Here's what I want. With your eyes closed, I just want you to hear me out. If you asked my parents and you said, "Man, can you believe how good God is that God did that for your son and God changed Dave?" And they would say, "It's a miracle. It's a miracle." But you know what? If you ask God, God would say, "Man, you should have seen Bob and Bonnie Erickson. You should have seen them the nights that Dave would come home drunk. And you should have just seen how they stood on my promises and how they, even though they did not see anything happening, they would claim that God was going to change their son and God was going to restore him and transform him." If you were to ask God, God would speak of the faith that my parents had that made His promises come true in my life. And that's what I want to encourage you. Whatever the need is in your life, at some point, we've got to have faith that what God says will actually come to pass and that God keeps his word. Hebrews 10:23 says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going, because he, God, always keeps his word. With your eyes closed, listen, I don't know if you have a relationship with God, and if you do, great. You know where you're at. If you don't have a relationship with God, it's no magic words. All you have to do is say, God, I want relationship with you, and I want you to be the center of my life. I want my life to be about you. I made a mess of myself, and I want you to be in charge. That's all you have to say. And God will begin to work in you. And then you hold on to a promise that you need in your life. And I'm telling you, whatever it is that you need, you hold on to God is the answer for my need. Let's have that conversation with God together. Father, we come to you, and you see all of us, and you know where we're at individually. You, Father, you know our needs. You know our doubts and our fears and our concerns. And just because we have faith, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have times where we doubt. Father, we know that. But Father, what we need today is a greater belief and the ability to believe and to act, to trust your character, to know that you cannot lie, to know that what you say is true and it will always come to pass. And we have to hold on to that. We have to believe it. So Father, you hear, you know the needs of our lives. Father, we hold on to your word. We hold on to your promises. And Father, for every person that's here that wants to begin that relationship with you, they want that relationship and they want you to be the center of their life. Father, may you answer that prayer today, and may they experience just how good you are. Father, thank you for every person that's here. May we discover a God that is greater than our opinions and a God that is greater than our baggage. In Jesus' name, amen.